chapter 7. Jesus is your best friend. Many names, his many names. One of the first things we do in getting to know somebody is asking, what is your name? Often for the Jews in the time of Jesus, the name of the person would point to what he was and his purpose in life. This lesson we will give several names of Jesus. But the first and most used is this name, and it's Jesus. Where did this name come from? Good question. The response is that God sent the Archangel Gabriel to visit the Blessed Virgin Mary in the mystery of the Annunciation. An angel is a messenger sent by God. The purpose of this message was to ask Mary if you would be willing to be the mother of God. Stop playing with the rose, okay? The Archangel Gabriel said the name of the child would be Jesus because he would save the people from their sins. All of this can be found in the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. Mary said yes to the Archangel Gabriel with these words, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to your word." The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and Jesus came down from heaven and was conceived in Mary's womb. The name of Jesus points to the reason for his coming, the purpose of his life on earth, the reason and means that we can get to heaven. And the name Jesus means Savior. Jesus came to save us from sin, from the devil, from sadness, from depression, and ultimately, damnation or hell. To read that again. The name of Jesus points to the reason for his coming, the purpose of his life on earth, the reason and means that we can get to heaven. The name of Jesus means Savior. He came to save us from sin, the devil, sadness, and depression, and ultimately, he saved us from hell, damnation or hell. It's pretty darn important. So what we've done is we go to the Bible, we get names that are given to Jesus in the Bible. So by means of these names, we can get to know Jesus better and better as a friend. Just a review. Remember last week, we're talking about Jesus, and we're moving from what is called his private life in Nazareth, which was about 30 years, to his public life, which lasted about 3 years. In his public life, his activities could be divided into three categories. Hopefully you have a memory that goes at least a week long. First activity was preaching or teaching. We said we see abundant preaching and teaching in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. Then after that, we mentioned the fact that he carried out a lot of miracles. And there are two different forms of miracles. Miracles over nature and miracles over human bodies. Miracles over nature. His first miracle that he carried out was at the wedding feast of Cana, in which, through Mary's intercession, he turned water into wine. Another one over nature. He walked on water. Another, they're in the boat, and a storm descended upon the lake and upon the boat. Jesus was asleep. He got up and said, "Be still," and the storm calmed. Another one over nature. He was preaching to thousands of people, and this little boy brought 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. Those are miracles over nature. Miracles over human bodies would be, can you give me an example? Okay, healed a blind person. Another one?
He made it up.
Raise your hands.
He helped a deaf person here.
Okay, that's another good one. Yep. Okay, made paralytic walk. Another one? Okay, so 3 times he actually, who was that person he brought back to life? We read in John chapter 11. It begins with an L. Lazarus. And if you go to Mass today, you go to Mass in 8 days on Thanksgiving, an extraordinary miracle. Now, one of the biggest physical epidemics today is called the epidemic of AIDS. No? You've never heard of AIDS before. Okay? Back in the time of Jesus, it was leprosy. A leper was someone who had a skin disease that usually started at the extremities of the body, the nose, the eyebrows, the lips, the vocal cords. Basically, it was a disease that would eat away at the extremities of your body. And there are 2 types. There is partial leprosy and total leprosy. Partial would be you'd be mangled. You kind of look like a monster. You wouldn't have fingers. You wouldn't have maybe a hand. Wouldn't have your nose. But then you would live. Others, the other type of leprosy is you'd basically rot alive. Like put an apple on your table in the middle of July and go to Mexico and come back 6 months later. And that apple is totally shriveled, right? So there's 2 types of leprosy. Partial and total. And lepers would live in what were called leper colonies. Maybe you saw the film Ben-Hur. They lived in leper colonies. And if anyone got close, they'd have to cry out, "Impure." And leprosy was a highly contagious disease. That means if someone touched you with leprosy and you had an open wound, you'd probably get it. Now, Jesus would actually touch lepers. not only would he not get the leprosy, but actually he would heal the leprosy. And a lot of sicknesses that we get after taking antibiotics and operations, the curing process is very gradual and slow. But Jesus would heal very quickly, like that. The best doctor in the world, huh? So those are the miracles over human bodies. And then we talked about another activity of Jesus. It's called an exorcism. Jesus would do exorcisms, right? He was an exorcist. Now, the work of the devil can work on us in different ways. One would be what's called a temptation. You've heard the word temptation, where you have like a bad thought that crosses through your mind. That's called a temptation. Maybe you've heard of an obsession. Obsession means you got a fixed idea. It's a prolonged temptation. Maybe you've heard the word oppression. The devil is oppressing you with sadness and depression. Maybe you've heard of, you saw the movie of Padre Pio, Vexation, where the devil can actually beat you up as he would beat up Padre Pio physically. Or it could actually be infestation. You've heard of a haunted house. So if you move into a house, and maybe there was a murder or suicide, or they practiced the occult, the Ouija board, you might have a devil in the house. So you should have to invite the priest to bless the house so that the bad spirits get out of the house, because the priest has a lot of power to do that. Yeah. And there's finally what is called possession, where a devil can get inside you. One of the ways the devil can get inside, if you get involved in black magic, satanic practices, your parents who said the word brujeria, okay, you go to those palm readers, or you maybe play the Ouija board. I know I'm not encouraging you to do this, but the first movie called The Exorcist, which came out in the 70s, it started off by with this kid that was playing the Ouija board, and then the devil got inside her. That's based on a real story, did you know that? But it was not a girl, it was a boy. And they had to call in the exorcist to cast out the devils. So don't play around with the devil. And you got to be careful with the music you listen to. Back in the 60s, even now, they sometimes sing songs in honor of the devil. Maybe you've heard of the Rolling Stones, huh? Mick Jagger. They're still together after 45 years. Yeah. They sang a song. The name of the song was Sympathy for the Devil. There's a rock and roll group called KISS. K-I-S-S. You know what it means? Knights in Satan's Service. That's really what it means. If you listen to the Led Zeppelin Stairway to Heaven, if you do back, you know what backgammoning is? As you listen to it backwards, you can hear a satanic subliminal message. You can hear My Sweet Satan if you listen to it backwards. So you got to be careful. None of us want to be under the influence of the bad spirit, do we? No? Last Saturday I did 15 exorcisms in one day.
15?
15. Oh. I did 15 exorcisms in one day. How about that? But you know what the exorcism was? There's a major exorcism and a minor. Every time we do a baptism, we do what's called a minor exorcism. So I did 15 baptisms. So it's not the major league, it's the minor league, okay? Okay. It's the minor league, okay? But still, when the baby is being baptized, before the baby is being baptized, I anoint the baby and ask the evil spirit not to get close to that family. So Jesus did a lot of exorcisms. Sometimes one, other times it'd be the legion. Legion means a huge number. So Jesus is, the devil exists. But God is more powerful than the devil. Do you believe it?
Yes.
God is powerful. The devil tempts us. You know what the devil does? The devil looks for your weak point. I don't know if you ever heard of Superman, the Kryptonite. Did you ever hear of Kryptonite? Superman was strong, but when he was exposed to kryptonite, he was weak. He was weak. So the devil looks for your kryptonite, your weak point. It's kind of like if you're playing baseball and I'm pitching, I try to see, can you hit a curveball or a slider or a knuckleball? Slider comes at you in a curve to the very end. Knuckleball, because I used to be able to throw a knuckleball when I was your, you kind of throw it this one, it kind of floats at you. It's hard to hit. None of you guys know anything about baseball, do you? No? And even the catcher has to have a bigger mitt because the knuckleball is really hard to control, hard to throw. And if you got wind there, it's really hard to hit. So we have to get to know ourselves, but even more important than that, we want to get to know Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why we're here. Okay, so let's move on. The names of Jesus: best friend, rock and foundation, Jesus, healer, divine physician, bread of life, Christ, Emmanuel, good shepherd, teacher, master, holy communion, son of Mary, son of God, redeemer, and Lord. Those are the names, some of the names of Jesus Christ. I've been doing a lot of baptisms for more than 30 years, so a lot of experience. And lately, the parents bring these babies in, and they got really weird names. Weird names. It's as if they go to 99 cents, they get the alphabet, and they just throw the first 12 letters is going to be the name of the baby. It's crazy, no? You're going to say, huh? Ah, that's the name of the baby. No? Or some name from a telenovela. Or some exotic flower on the top of a hill in Africa. So those who have a certain poetic impulse to their nature, huh? So, you guys, when you choose your name to be confirmed, me and Mrs. Garrow, we're going to check out what that name is. None of you guys are going to be choosing weird names. You're going to choose the name of a really good saint, like Jose, or Joseph, or St. John, or St. Thomas Aquinas, or St. John Bosco, or Maximilian Kolbe, or Juan Pablo II, or... St. Joseph is the greatest saint in the whole world. He's the husband of Mary. He's the foster father of Jesus Christ. So we're going to make sure you don't choose kind of a weird name. Okay, so if your parents gave you a weird name, you're going to get a good name for confirmation, okay? That's a good one. He's going to choose Angel, and you're going to choose Yankee, right?
Oh, my name is Angel.
No, can't choose Yankee as a name, can you? No. So let's get to know the names of Jesus. Are you ready? So today we've got enough time to go through seven of the names. Because there are so many different names. We're going to go through seven. And you have them memorized, we hope. Some of you have photographic memories, right?
Yeah.
And then you'll be able to use these names when you pray and you talk to Jesus. So these are, it's like a platform or a diving board to dive into the infinite ocean of the greatness of who Jesus Christ is. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, number one is Christ. Christ. Are you a polyglot?
I didn't know what that means.
Are you a polyglot?
That's
a word. Polyglot means he who knows more than one language, no?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you guys are. You guys are polyglot. I wasn't. You guys are lucky. You brought up with two languages,
I'm
no?
Polyglot.
I start from zero to try to learn Italian and Spanish. You guys have it built in your family, right? But the word Christ, that comes from the Greek language. And so the Bible was first written in Greek and Aramaic, which is the language of Jesus. Then it was translated by St. Jerome into Latin in the 5th century. Then from that into what's called the vernacular, Spanish, Italian, English, German. So Christ, this would be the Greek symbol of Christ, the Kairo. And what it means is this. Christ means the anointed one. The anointed one. Now, Christ would be the Greek. Christ would be the Greek. Now, do you know what Messiah means? It means Christ. But the Christ is the Greek. Messiah is the Aramaic. It's like John and Juan. What's the difference between John and Juan? It's the same, right? One is Spanish, the other one is English. Okay, so Christ and Messiah is the same. And what it means Jesus Christ is the Christ for God. Write it. Anointed. Title Christ means anointed one Messiah. Jesus is the Christ for God. Anointed. Do you know how to spell anointed?
Yes.
Like anointed. Anointed. Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. With power. You know, Tomas, you were anointed 2 times. I was anointed 4 times. All of you were anointed 2 times. I was anointed 4 times. Okay, when were you anointed 2 times? When you're baptized. So the first anointing was the... That was that minor exorcism. Then after you're baptized, after you're baptized in the same ceremony, the priest anointed your forehead with chrism. But I have 2 more. I was anointed when I was confirmed. But also, John Paul II, he anointed me as a priest. So I was ordained by John Paul II. So I have 4 anointings. So if you become a priest, you'll have had 4 anointings. Actually, I've been anointed 5 times. Yeah. No, another one is if you ever have an operation, any operation, then you can have the anointing of the sick. Did you know that? Yes. So before an operation, you get the anointing of the sick. So five different anointings, and that anointing, It strengthens you. It gives you peace. It gives you joy. It gives you help to be able to carry the cross that God gives us, right? Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So, he was the one who was to come, the object of the hope of Israel. What's Acts? What does that mean, Acts? you who are a walking encyclopedia of information, what is Acts? You don't know. It's one of the books of the Bible. And I'll tell you where it is. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then Acts. Got that? So you got the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Then right after that, you have the Acts. Not A-X-E, Acts, but Acts. And it's the Acts of the Apostles. So we want to get to know what the Apostles did. We have it in that book that follows, the Gospels. So what are the Gospels again? Can you tell them in order?
I know.
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's say it together. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Say it again. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And what follows that? The Acts of the Apostles. Okay. Second name. You can find Emmanuel. You can find that in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 23. This name, Emmanuel, we read and pray often in the Advent season. We're going to be entering the Advent season in about 2.5 weeks. And that's the beginning of the church new year. The church new year in preparation for Christmas. You're probably going to have at your house, your parents buy that Advent wreath. You ever get one of those? Or the candles? No? And you light a candle every week. And there are four different Sundays, and then we celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ. So it starts with Advent. Advent means beginning, starting, rather coming. Okay, then the name Emmanuel, we read and pray often in the Advent season as we get ready for Christmas, which is the birthday of Jesus. It actually has a most consoling interpretation in meaning. Means three words. God with us. That's what it means. Means God with us. God with us. Jesus is the Son of God made man, but He wants to be with you always. He is your friend, guide, and companion on the highway of life. We should often say the short prayer, Emmanuel, Lord Jesus, stay with me. Say that prayer. Emmanuel, Lord Jesus, stay with me. Say it again. Emmanuel, Lord Jesus, stay with me. Once more. Emmanuel, Lord Jesus, stay with me. Jesus wants to be with you all the days. Hours, minutes, seconds of your life. All the way to heaven. Invite Him in your life. Emmanuel, God with us. Number three. Jesus. The name that was given to Him by the Archangel Gabriel in the Annunciation. Given by the Archangel Gabriel in the Annunciation, Jesus means we already read that. Savior. Means Savior. Jesus came to save you from what? From sin, death, sadness, depression, the devil, and eternal death, and finally,
hell.
Savior from hell. Okay, right next to hell, in parentheses, I want you to write in parentheses, Peter, Peter on the waves. I'm going to tell you a story. Jesus told the apostles to get into the boat, cross over to the other side of the sea, and he stood on the shore. Jesus stayed on the shore and he prayed. But given that there was a lot of wind and there was a storm, they couldn't get very far. So they're rowing, and the wind was against them, and they're getting nowhere fast. And all of a sudden, about 3 o'clock in the morning, they saw something that shook them, that startled them, that scared them. They saw this guy walking on the water, 3 o'clock in the morning. They cried out, "It's a ghost!" And Jesus said to them, "Get hold of yourself, it is I." So Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to get out of the boat and to walk on the water." So all the apostles were watching Peter. So Jesus said, "Come." And Peter started to actually walk on the water. But then, this big wave about to engulf him, he looks and he starts to sink. He's sinking and he cries out, "Lord, save me." And then Jesus, with one finger, he went like this. "Hombre poca fe," man, a little faith. Then he stretched out his other hand and he grabbed the hand of Peter. And he grabs the hand of Peter, and then Peter starts to walk on the water. They get in the boat, and the boat crosses to the other shore. It's a great story. Great story. Yeah. And we read that in the Bible. So we're kind of like Peter. We got fears. We've got ghosts that come to haunt us. Waves that want to batter against the ship of our own lives. When that happens, you got to call out. You got to say, "Lord, save me." It's a great prayer. "Lord, save me." Great prayer, isn't it? "Lord, save me." You go through tough times, "Lord, save me." Cry out, "Lord, save me." So in our lives, that's going to happen. You go through tough times, and you have to have recourse to Jesus and ask him to save you. And he will stretch out his hand. He'll grab onto your hand. He'll grasp your hand. And he'll help you to get into the boat. He'll help you to cross over safely and securely to the port of salvation. You got to trust. Jesus is our Savior. Okay, number four. Number four is the Good Shepherd. You can find that in the Gospel of John, chapter 10. A couple weeks ago, we spoke about the documentary of the buffalo and the wolves. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Buffalo was running in the desert, and all of a sudden, this wolf comes behind, catches up to him, jumps, grabs onto his foot, bites, and he comes cascading down. And within a matter of 5 minutes, you get a pack of wolves that are surrounding the buffalo, and within another 5 minutes, there's only the buffalo bones that have remained. And that wolf is symbolic of the devil, who has come up behind us on the sly and jump to attack. The key is we have to stay close to the Good Shepherd. We have to stay close to the Good Shepherd. Sheep is not a very intelligent animal. A wolf is very intelligent. Sheep is a dumb animal and weak. And he doesn't have too much of a memory either. If the sheep is lost, he's probably not going to find his way back to the flock. So if the sheep wander from the shepherd, the wolves can come attack, ravage, and kill. So we have to stay close to the good shepherd. That good shepherd is Jesus Christ. He's our best friend. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. Even though I have to walk through dark valleys, I fear no evil, because you're with me with your rod and your staff. You anoint my head with oil. I believe that I will be in the house of the Lord for years to come. I just quoted Psalm 23 to you. The most famous psalm in the whole Bible, called the Psalm of the Good Shepherd. Come up here. Okay, why is Jesus the good shepherd? A good shepherd knows his sheep. Good shepherd knows his sheep. Protects his sheep. Defends his sheep. Loves his sheep. And is even willing to die for his sheep. As our good shepherd, Jesus did all of the above for you. He gives you life, and he knows you by name. Defends you and protects you from the many wolves, feeds you, brings you back to the fold, loves you, and is even willing to die for you. How much Jesus really loves you. So when you look up at the cross, you see those open wounds in his hands and his feet, the crown of thorns on his head, he did that all for you. How important you are for Jesus Christ. He did it all for you. For your salvation. So that one day you'll be able to go to heaven. Number five. Master, teacher. We find that in Matthew chapter 23, verse 8. St. Augustine says that a good teacher loves what he teaches and loves those he teaches, his students. By far, Jesus was, is, and always will be the best. He'll be the best of teachers. The best of teachers. How does Jesus teach us? Primarily, he teaches us through the Bible. The Word of God. Most specifically, through the Thomas? Gospels. Through the Gospels. Meaning the good news. How many Gospels?
Four.
They are? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the four Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So it is a very good activity to read at least for a few minutes the Gospel every day so that we can get to know, love, and follow Jesus more closely. Can you tell me any word that Jesus said in one of the Gospels? You know what he said? His last commandment was this. Last and greatest commandment was somewhat like that. He said, love one another as I've loved you. On forgiveness, he said, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Also, he said, Father, forgive them because they don't know what they're doing. With respect to confession, he said, the apostles received the Holy Spirit. Who sins you forgive, they'll be forgiven. Who sins you hold down, they'll be held down. With respect to peace, he said, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. With respect to the Eucharist, he said in John chapter 6, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up on the last day. It's John chapter 6. John chapter 10, he describes himself as a shepherd. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Not like when the hirelings, once they see the wolf, he takes to flight. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep know me. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. What about John chapter 11? John chapter 11, he raises Lazarus from the dead and says, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though he dies, he will live. What were the last words he said on the cross? Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. It is finished. What are the last words that we have of Jesus in Matthew chapter 28? The last words. Matthew chapter 28. He said, go out to all nations, teaching all that I taught, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And his last words, and behold, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. See, I'm speaking from memory, right? See that?
Right.
What do you think? Pretty good?
From memory.
From memory, huh? Ask me something about the Bible. Hopefully after 2 years, you guys are going to be like that, too. The question of reading and praying and memorizing, trying to live it out. You always have memories. It's just a matter of using your memory, right? I believe that young people, you're like sponges. A sponge absorbs. You can absorb good things or bad things. We're here to absorb good things, the Word of God. Huh? Sponge, una esponja. Absorb. Absorb good things. So you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So we've arrived at one of the greatest, the bread of life. That's John chapter 6, verse 58-59. Any of you know the longest chapter in the New Testament? I think you know, don't you?
26 chapters.
Well, how about the longest in verses? You know, don't you? It's Luke chapter 1, and it has 81 verses. That's a long chapter, isn't it? It's a long one. Some only have about 30 verses. That's almost three times as long as some of them. Okay, so we have both body and soul, don't we?
Yeah.
We must nourish both if we want to be healthy in both body and soul. Our body is very important because through baptism it becomes the temple of God. However, our soul is more important and is destined to go to heaven forever. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood will have eternal life. Now raise him up on the last day. Jesus, grant me hunger and thirst for you. Amen? Grant me hunger and thirst for you. There's a psalm. It says this, as the deer yearns for the running waters, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord my God. Try to imagine a deer in Arizona in the middle of July, where it's hot, and Arizona can sometimes hit 115, 120 degrees, and it gets pretty hot and humid at times. And you got a deer that's walking through the desert the whole day without any water. Then as sun goes down, he arrives at a place where there's vegetation, there's some trees, and there's a running stream. And as soon as he sees that, he goes and he sees that fresh water from the stream, and he just drinks and drinks and drinks and drinks. So you should have even more hunger and thirst for God. Like the image? Even greater hunger and thirst for God. Greater hunger and thirst for Holy Communion than that deer who finally arrives at the stream after dying of thirst the whole day. As a deer yearns for the running stream, so my soul thirsts for you, O Lord my God. Yep. That's where we're heading. Holy Communion. Related to the previous title, for Jesus, bread of life, is Holy Communion. Holy Communion. Actually, the two words are closely related. Holy Communion is really, Jesus said he is the bread of life. He's the bread of life. Holy means it is sacred, sublime, majestic, and great. Communion means union with. Therefore, put together, Holy Communion means that Jesus wants to come into you, be united with you, to make you holy, pure, noble, strong, humble, son, and servant of God. Amen? So, we learn seven titles for Jesus. Christ, Anointed One, Emmanuel, God is with us, Jesus, Savior, the Good Shepherd, Jesus is Master or Teacher. He's the Bread of Life. And Holy Communion. Those are seven new names for Jesus Christ. Did you already do the attendance? You did it already?
I did in general. I just have to tell them that I'm number 20.
Okay, then we're going to make a short visit to the Blessed Sacrament, an announcement. Then we're going to be visiting, pass over the binders and the pencils, and then we'll make our short visit.